Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, as always, because the entrance of your word brings light. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I pray that that light will shine in our hearts this morning and afternoon, giving us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. Praise the Lord. We give you, Lord, glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thank you all for joining. We have folks joining us from several parts of Africa. We have folks joining us from the UK, from Canada, from, all across the United States. So it's a great way to fellowship. And good morning. Welcome, everyone. Today's lesson, day 4 of our week-long convocation. This is going to be perhaps, the most important day of these lessons, because this will encompass all of what we are doing. Undoing the heavy burdens. That's what we are going to be talking about today. Undoing those heavy burdens. Well, let's do a scripture reading. While we were preparing for this room, we read in the book of Nehemiah chapter 9, how those people prepare their hearts in the fasting day and what they did. Part of what they did was stand in the word of the Lord, read the word of the Lord for several hours. Then they also prayed, did their confession for several hours. And they were worshiping the Lord also. All of that was mixed up in the fasting day. So I'm going to take a scripture reading, but there will be several other scriptures that I will be using as we go through this lesson. But let me first take a scripture reading as part of the fasting day. We're going to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, because this is the one that I ask people to read. So let's just read some part of it. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the feast of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. From verse 4. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Would thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Now, the Lord is questioning them here because they themselves were questioning the Lord to say, well, we have fasted, but the Lord has not answered, and so on. So the Lord is going to challenge the way they fast and their attitude, during fasting. So he's going to come here and tell them how and what he wants during fasting. Verse 6 of Isaiah 58. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. Well, we tackled that yesterday. To undo the heavy burdens. Well, we're going to tackle that today. And to let the oppressed go free. We'll tackle that by the grace of God tomorrow. And that ye break every yoke. Tackle that after that, the next day after tomorrow. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Now look at some of the promises when you do it right. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Well, you have health issues. Let's trust the Lord together as we go through this convocation. Thy righteousness also shall go before thee. There was a cleansing, confession, and things that we did at the beginning. And the glory of the Lord shall even cover your rear world. Then shall thou call. And the Lord is saying that, look, during this time, I'm going to answer your prayers. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. But usually it's God that calls and we say, here I am. But this time around, when you do this fasting right, you know, the Bible says here, the Lord himself, that when you call, the Lord will answer. Hallelujah. Now, if thou take away from the midst of the yoke, we are going to do that. Putting forth the finger and speaking vanity. Putting forth the finger means accusations. You know, don't be accusing your fellow brother or sister, you know, of anything, you know. Love them with fervent charity in your hearts. Don't speak vanity, things that you don't even know about. That's none of your concern. You engage in all those things. Get your mind off of that, you know. But he said, look, draw out your soul, the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul. Well, we are going to be dealing with various kinds of afflictions over the next few days. It's also talking here of physical, those who are physically afflicted. If you can help them, that's great. I'm dealing here on the spiritual aspect. Everybody has their own calling. You know, Jesus didn't go about in his ministry just feeding the poor. That wasn't what he came to do. He came to actually preach the gospel to the poor. Occasionally he would feed them if they were hungry, but he didn't go about doing that. Now, some people have a calling to do that, and that's great. Do it faithfully if that's your calling. That's not what I'm doing in these few rooms, in a few days, this room. I am, you know, going to be dealing with the spiritually afflicted, you know, and he promised that then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And I say, if your darkness be as the noonday, then what shall thy light be like? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. If you're looking for guidance when you do this fasting and consecration right, the Lord will guide you. He will satisfy your soul in drought. There's places, you know, now that things are almost like they are in drought. Things are just not working right. We have some of our brethren, beloved brethren and partners and friends from, you know, Africa and other places, Nigeria especially, my home country. And the news that are reaching us out of that place is not good many times. But the Lord, for you, he will keep and satisfy your soul in drought. Make thy bones to be fat, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. So we're going to be dealing even in restoration of relationships before we close out this series. And a lot of things about, he also talks about the Sabbath, not doing your pleasure, but, you know, taking the rest. Now, when we did the book of Hebrews many months ago, we covered the true rest. In Hebrews chapter 4:11, you know, he said, look, you know, labor to enter into his rest. I'm going to talk about that today. What does that even mean? Now, he said, delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. What does that mean? Well, that means you will not be mean fellows that are narrowly looked upon. But the Lord is going to highly place you, and he's going to give you a blessing. I'll feed you the heritage of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So that's our scripture reading for today. And we've read the scriptures just like they did. Now I'm going to go into, this is part of the lesson as well. I'm going to go into other scriptures, and I'm going to get straight into these declarations. The book of Zephaniah. I'm going to start in Zephaniah chapter 3. And let's pick it up from about verse 14. And this is what the Lord has to say. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. And I say, it looks like the Lord's always encouraging the women. You know, yesterday I talked about women, you know, being under a lot of stress, a lot of burdens and stuff. And the women are always striving, actually. I mean, you look in this room, there's more women than men. And you look anywhere you go, you know, on Bible studies, prayer meetings, house of worship, wherever, yeah, usually the women are there, you know. And so the Lord's heart is also towards the women. And many things that, you know, even he when he talks to Israel, sometimes addresses them as though it was a woman. And like here, you know, because of the relationship that he had with Israel, you know, and he would say here, like, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, and be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. So if you are a daughter of Zion, you know that we are now the spiritual Zion. If you are a daughter of Zion, shout and rejoice here this morning. Glory to God. Now, the Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. Hallelujah. Now, the king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Now, who is the king of Israel? The Lord. That's what he's saying. The Lord is the king of Israel and is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt not see evil anymore. Can someone say amen to that? Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Now, in that day, such as now, yeah, it will be said to you, you know, anytime I read some of these scriptures, when I see Jerusalem and Israel and Jacob and this and that, I just put my name there and put the family, my brethren, the church, the people of God, you know. So this is for us. In that day, it shall be said to the people of God, fear thou not. Hallelujah. And to all his saints, let not your hands be slack. Hallelujah. We're going to deal with that today. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, and he is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. That's a beautiful song that we used to sing from that verse. I will gather them. This is what we are doing in this convocation. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. Blow the trumpet in Zion, you know, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Gather the congregation, call a solemn assembly. Well, you know, I will gather them that are sorrowful. If you are sorrowful in heart, if you have any kind of burdens, you know, this assembly is for you. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. Yes, for those of you to whom the reproach has been a burden. You know, if you have been burdened down, you know, and all of that, you know, the Lord says, I'm going to gather you here. And why is he gathering you here? Because he's going to leave a blessing instead. Now, behold, at that time, such as this, I will undo, that's what we're doing here this morning, undo all that afflict you. I'm going to undo the heavy burdens. And I will save her that halteth and gather her that is driven out. And I will get them praise and fame. God is going to give you recognition. That's right. The honor that you want is the honor that comes from God, not from men. That one is, doesn't mean anything. But the honor that comes from God, and God said, look, I will get you praise. I will get you fame. In every land where you have been put out to shame, you will not be put to shame anymore. My people shall never be ashamed, according to the prophecy in Joel that we read the first day. You know, so I am going to undo all that afflict you. And at that time also, I will bring you again. Even in the time that I gather you, you know, for I will make you a name and a praise. Now, the Lord's already got himself a name and a praise and renown, but now he's going to make you a praise, and he's going to make you a name among all the people of the earth. Now, this is for the church. Glory to God. When I turn back your captivity, you know, the church has been like a byword for many, many years. And it's just been like the devil just had, you know, a field day. Well, the Lord said, I'm going to turn all of that around right before your eyes, and I'm going to bring a name and a praise among all nations. The Lord's going to do it. Well, we start here with this gathering today, a gathering such as this, you know, and we want to look at what the Lord has for us. Remember all the things he said in this book of Zephaniah. This is another one that you should study. There are many gems in this chapter. All the things that the Lord wants to do for us, they are encapsulated right here. Now, we are in a battle zone during these convocation days. And you got to step in the ring. And I said yesterday that, look, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this one shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Hallelujah. That's Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Well, in fact, let me read verse 4 and 5 together. For thou hast broken the yoke of his body and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor. God's going to break all these things throughout this series. And God is telling you that, look, this kind of battle that we are fighting, usually when people fight, there's confused noise all over the place. There's garments rolled in blood, you know, on either side. But not this time around. This battle is going to be with burning and a fuel of fire. We're going to kindle and consume the works of the devil. Hallelujah. We read that in Obadiah chapter 17. Chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Verses 17 and 18 yesterday. The house of Jacob, you know, shall be a fire. And the house of Joseph a flame. And they shall kindle together, burn the house of Esau and Edom. Because those represent the evil side. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hear ye the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 to 25. These are the things that God is fixing to do for us, you know, during this convocation. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Isaiah 14 and 24. He said, the Lord of hosts himself has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains to tread him underfoot, that his yoke will depart off of you, and his burden from your shoulders. So we're going to be talking about the yoke, the burden that the devil put on God's people. The Lord said, I will break it and I will get it off your shoulder. This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed it, and who shall disannul it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He has purposed it. There's no one that can disannul it. And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? That's Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 to 27. All right, well, let's get into some stories in the Bible. I often like to tell some good stories in the Bible that can help us, you know, visualize what the Lord is saying. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses had an encounter with the Lord. And God was going to send him back to the same Egypt from where he fled. And the Lord will say to him, you know, that he wants to go and deliver his people. But let's see how the Lord put it out. The Lord said to him, I am the God of thy father. Exodus chapter 3 verse 6. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely, now listen to this, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Huh. Hallelujah. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, And I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, the Lord knows your burdens. He knows the affliction. He knows all of this. But this is how it works. You know, these children of Israel, they've been there many years. At first, things were good in the days of Joseph when he brought his father and his brethren in. And he gave them the land of Goshen. Everything was good. And afterwards, when that Pharaoh died, that knew not Joseph, things turned around. And they began to oppress them and so on and so forth. You know, and because they were growing in multitudes and they didn't want them to overgrow them, the Egyptians didn't, so they started to oppress them. And many years, hundreds of years passed, even 400 years to be exact. It came to a point that many of them were there, they died, they lived, you know, died and lived and died. And they just resigned into being slaves. They resigned into, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, we are underdogs. We are second class. It was even worse. They were slaves. They were maltreated. They were pummeled. They were battered. And, you know, they were brutalized and everything. Nobody could do anything about it. You know, but they didn't truly, you know, really cry out unto the Lord. They were just, they took it that, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, there are some people, there's communities that just took it. They're just taking it that, well, that's just the way we are. You know, we know this is just who we are. This is how we are. This is all we can get. And they're just taking it like that, you know. But when they began to cry to the Lord, this is how the Lord put it. I have seen their affliction. He saw the affliction, but they weren't crying out to the Lord. Now, and he said, now I've heard their cry. Now, so when you are afflicted and you are not crying out to the Lord about it, you are delaying your deliverance. You are delaying what the Lord will do for you. When you are afflicted, you need to cry out to the Lord. Don't just take the situation like that. You know, there are many people that are underprivileged. Even in this great country, there have been racism for many years. And even though some of it had gotten better, it's still there in many parts. And they have pummeled down, you know, certain classes of people. And those people have accepted it as if that's how they should be. And, you know, and that's just the way things are. You know, but when you begin to cry out to the Lord, you know, no matter which circumstance you find yourself in. Now, all of the children that were born during those 400 years, they didn't bargain to be born into slavery, but they were, you know. But just because they were born into slavery and born into the time of affliction doesn't mean they have to stay there, but they did. They stood there. They just accepted it for many years. And then finally, they began to cry out to the Lord. And when they did, well, the Lord said, well, I've seen their affliction and now I have heard their cry. By reason of their taskmasters, I know thy sorrows, their sorrows, and I'm set to deliver them. Now you go and tell them. So Moses went and he told the children of Israel that the Lord God of their fathers is going to deliver them from bondage. And so the people got excited. They started having hope and they slacked off in their, you know, what they were doing. Because God's going to deliver us. We don't have to be under this. You know, Moses and Aaron, they were telling them, psyching them up. And they went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, let my people go and so forth. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should let him, his people go? I mean, and then let's listen to that exchange, you know, that had happened between Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5. They went to Pharaoh and said, thus said the Lord God, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? Now, let my people go. That's what the Lord is saying to all the devils and all of the you know, remember yesterday we read in the book of Zechariah, those four horns and the four carpenters, the Zechariah chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. We read that yesterday. The four horns that are battered down the people of God, you know, and the carpenter's anointing, you know, that's coming, you know, over these next few days to release you of all of that, you know. So now he said, you know, who's the Lord that should obey his voice? you know, I don't know the Lord, and I'm not going to let you go. And they said, well, the God of Israel has met with us. You better let us go. He said, no, you know. And so the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their walks? Because when the children of Israel heard of the, you know, what God has proposed, they started to have hope. See, one of the things that the devil does is to make sure you don't have hope. Pummel you down, you know, make sure that you can't see the light of day and you don't even have hope. Lose hope, take everything away. And so, you know, because the affliction has been long. So, but the people started to have a glimmer of hope. And they started to say, wow, you know, God is actually going to set us free. And they relaxed a bit from their labors. And, you know, Pharaoh discerned that and said, look, you are giving these people hope. You are letting them, you know, slack off from their works. Now go back to your burdens. Listen to that. Go back to your burdens. Exodus chapter 5, verse 4. And Pharaoh said to them, behold, the people of the land are now many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. Now, Pharaoh doesn't want you to have any rest. Now, consider this Pharaoh as a taskmaster and the king of taskmasters, which is the devil himself. Now, Pharaoh doesn't want you, and this devil doesn't want you to have any rest. So, says to them, they're making them to rest from their burdens. So, Pharaoh turned around and commanded the same day all the taskmasters and all the officers of the people, saying, ye shall no more give these people straw to make brick. They used to give them straw to make brick before. You know, let them go and gather straw for themselves. Don't even make the job easy for them. You know, make it harder. The tail of bricks, which they used to make before, you should lay it upon them. You will not diminish anything. For they be idle. These people are idle. And they say, we want to go and sacrifice to our God. Let there be more work laden upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. So the taskmasters went out, and the officers, and they did as Pharaoh had said. Put more burdens on them. Put more labor on them. Make their, you know, say, look, you know, we beat you with whips before. Now we're going to beat you with scorpions. You know, we're going to make things harder for you. Fulfill your works and your daily tasks. And we're not going to give you any straw. Put more burdens on them. The same tactics is what Pharaoh is still using today. Today's Pharaoh is the devil. He looks at the children of God. He say, well, if they have time, and if they are at peace, and if they are at rest, then they'll have time to worship the Lord. They'll have time to go into the house of the Lord. They'll have time for the things of God. Let there be more burdens laid in upon them, so that they will not have time. Make their jobs harder. Make their problems harder. Give them more bills to pay. You know, afflict their children with sickness, or some of them, you know, whatever. Just do all of these things. Now, they have, you know, they have their own meeting too, just like Pharaoh had his meeting with taskmasters. The devil has his meetings with those demons and those oppressing spirits. Say, look, go after them. If you can't get them, go after their children. If you can't get their children, go after their relatives. Go after this and that. Make sure they have problems, you know, that will, you know, take up their time. Give them more burdens. Make them have higher bills that they have to pay, so that they need to work two jobs, three jobs, four jobs, so that they will not have time for the Lord. Do it to them. You know, and he said, look, give them more burdens. Now, men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, this is the same tactic that the devil is still using today. So you got to be discerning, you know, discerning. Now, this business of working two jobs, three jobs, whatever, you know, Psalm 127 verse 2 says, look, it is vain for you to rise up early, stay up late, only to eat the bread of affliction. You know, now, what does that mean? Well, that means, you know, before you were working 8 hours a day, Now you have to work 12, 13 hours a day, 14, 15 hours a day, you know, and then when you leave that one, you have to go work a few more hours elsewhere because you just can't make ends meet. You can't do it, you know. And after all of that, it's like you get all that money and put it in a bag and Satan put holes in the bag. So all that hard-earned money, when you come back, there's something you have to spend that money on, which is not what you wanted. You have to, something breaks in the house, some family is sick, some kind of problems. I mean, all of these things are devil's tactics. Now, God wants us to work because the Bible says, if no, any man doesn't work, let him not eat. In fact, in the beginning, you know, but I'll tell you the kind of labor that God wants us to do. God wants us to work because in the beginning, he put Adam to work. After he made a garden, he put him there to dress it. So, you know, God has no problem with that. As a matter of fact, Lamentation 3 and 27 will tell you that it is good that a person should bear the yoke during their youth. You know, when you are younger, that's when you should do all these things. Go to college, go to school, get a degree, do everything you need to do, you know, to give yourself an advantage while you're young. That's Lamentation 3 and 27. So God wants us to do that, you know, but what is the kind of, when Jesus came, what was he trying to tell the people about all this hard labor? Well, let's read John chapter 6 and verse 27. You know, there is a lesson that Jesus himself was teaching here about the kind of labor that we should be doing or not doing. You know, he said, labor not, John 6, 27, for the meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has the Father sealed. What does it mean to labor for the meat that endures to eternal life? Well, that's what we're doing here. We are paying the price for the word of God that brings us deliverance. You pay the price. You know, you labor. You know, I told you I would talk about Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. You know, the Lord was talking about, I mean, in that place, the scripture has something that seems almost contradictory. You know, seems almost contradictory. How do you tell somebody to labor so that they can enter into rest? That seems almost contradictory. You know, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Well, laboring to enter into his rest is doing everything you can to make sure you get a hold of the rest that God has promised. I was talking about Sabbath, you know, people talk about, you know, in this place, I was talking about, you know, when we covered this series and I did it some months ago, I explained what true Sabbath means. It's getting rest. Sabbath was never a day of worship. If you thought that Sabbath was a day of worship, that's a wrong teaching and a wrong understanding and a myth. Throw that away. It's not in the Bible. Every day is a day of worship, but the Sabbath is the day of rest. You know, God wanted his people, God designed these things. He doesn't want you to constantly, you know, just be going. He wants you to rest. He designed that as a pattern. You know, so do whatever it is to make sure you get the understanding of how to get into rest. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 11, he began to talk about it, you know, in verse 28. He gave an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, why? Well, he said, because, you know, my yoke, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, you know, and so forth. And you shall find rest unto your souls. And verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, when you are yoked with the Lord, it's easy. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous, so it's light. But the devil's yoke is heavy. The devil's yoke is to make you, you know, have more problems. more issues. More, even if you are a student, give them more exams, you know, so that they will not have time. Give them more homework. Give them more assignment. I mean, in every sphere of life, just add more to their problems. You know, when people have challenges and problems, even, you know, challenge their body with sickness. So they are running from doctor to this, from treatment to that. They will not have time to worship the Lord. Do it. Go after them. This is how the devil talks to his emissaries. You know, those are called the oppressing spirits. And they have their meeting. That's what they do. Go after them. You know, make their life miserable. Pummel them. You know, batter them down. Do everything you can to make sure they don't have time to worship the Lord. Because when they are idle, then they will want to worship the Lord. You know, this is the tactic that Pharaoh did. And today, the devil is still using that tactic. You know, so, now, but what must we do as a child of liberty? Well, I read this yesterday, and I'm going to read again today. And many of these horns, I mean, there are several horns, four of them, and they overlap. They are the ones that come to batter down the children of God, but they overlap. The carpenter's anointing to break each one of those, to break the bands of wickedness, to break the heavy burdens, to set the oppressed free, and to break every yoke. Those carpenter's anointings, they also overlap. Listen to this that we read yesterday in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 13. This is what God, this is how God declares it, and this is what he wants for his people. And God is going to call out these heavy burdens and this yoke thing that the devil puts upon the people. You know, here's what he said. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. And why? That ye should not be their bondmen. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. The burdens that the devil put upon people is for them to be bent over, battered down, bent over. Your the burden is too heavy in your back. You cannot even stand up straight. And the Lord said, look, I have already broken all of that and caused you to stand up straight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, enemy shall not exact upon you. Glory to God. But let's pick that up from Psalm 89. We read from verse 22. Now, God doesn't want oppressing spirits to be upon us. Hallelujah. You know, and he said, look, he saw it. It was happening. Of course, it was prophesied to Abraham many years, even when he, before he even had a single child. God said, know of a surety, you know, that your seed will go down to a nation and so forth, and they will be oppressed for many years, 400 years. And afterward, I'll bring them out with a high hand, and I will punish that nation. So we know God already said that ahead of time. Now, Psalm 89 and verse 22. The enemy shall not exact upon you, nor the son of wickedness afflict you. And I will beat down your foes before your face, and I will plague those that hate you. That's right. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with you, and my name, in my name shall your horn be exalted. I was talking about David here. This was the blessing of David, and we have the sure mercies of David. You know, I said, I found David, my servant. With my holy oil, I've anointed him. And he began to tell him all these things. Well, the same thing goes for us. You know, so the Lord says, the enemy shall not exact you. Exacting means putting burdens on you. You know, burdens that you cannot even bear. Jesus told the people, he said, look, he told the Pharisees, you lay many burdens on these people. Burdens that you yourself cannot bear. You will not touch it with a finger. You know, I mean, yet you put all these burdens on the people. Even the religious systems, they put burdens on people that the religious leaders themselves cannot even do. And Jesus said, look, you are hypocrites, all of you, because you've laid burdens on people that you yourself cannot do. Well, you know, as a spiritual leader myself, I won't say religious leader because I don't like to use the word religious when it concerns me. You know, I must be careful not to lay burdens, you know, on people that I myself cannot do. You know, so don't, you know, anybody who's a religious leader, don't lay burdens on people that you yourself cannot do. You know, because Jesus condemned it. He said, look, you know, you will not touch these things with a, you know, 1 mile pole, basically. You won't lift any of these burdens. Try even with one of your fingers, you know, but you lay them on the people. You tell them to do things which you yourself cannot even do, you know. And so Jesus condemned that. And the lesson here is that Jesus doesn't want us to be under burdens, physical burdens, religious burdens. It doesn't matter. These are burdens anyway. You know, what are some of these religious burdens? Well, you know, the burdens, you know, that they put on people such that, you know, there is, I mean, you have nowhere to turn. Yes, you made some bad decisions. Yes, you did some wrong things in your life. But here's how Jesus called it out for them. In Matthew 23 and verse 4, he said, look, he was telling the people, beware of these religious leaders. Better beware of them because they don't have your interests at heart. You know, they do a lot of things. In fact, this whole chapter of Matthew 23 is about calling out hypocrisy among the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. And he said, look, you know, you bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, you know, and lay them on men's shoulders, but you yourself will not move them with any one of your fingers. Matthew 23 and verse 4. You know, the religious leaders, they themselves want to, you know, be pardoned or have mercy if they do something wrong. But they will not have compassion. They will not have mercy on somebody who does something wrong. And they hold it over their heads for the rest of their lives. You know, that's a heavy burden that is too heavy to bear. Jesus said, look, you know, all that they do, beware of them. So there's burdens coming from the devil. There's burdens coming from various ways. There's affliction and so forth. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's even self-afflicted or self-inflicted. Sometimes we say, Lord, you know, give me another job. You know, I need to do, you know, I just need something. Well, and the Lord gives it to you. Then all of a sudden, that job becomes a snare. You know, and instead of being able to walk 8 hours and go home, now you have to walk 12, 13, 14 hours, you know. And the thing that was intended to be a blessing now becomes a sorrowful thing. Whereas in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord, he maketh rich, and he added no sorrow to it. Now, this is discernment, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to put it out here today. Whenever there is something that you got from the Lord that was supposed to be a blessing and supposed to make you rich, and it turned out that sorrow is have been added to it, that's not from the Lord. I mean, the thing may have been from the Lord, but the sorrow part is not from the Lord. The devil has now put his hand into the thing, you know, to mix that thing up, you know, because everything that God gives is good. You know, all good and perfect gifts from above. But the devil, you know, it's like, you know, a little leaven mixed up in, you know, with measures of meal, turn everything out. You got this great blessing and so forth. The devil will put a little leaven inside it, mix it all up, make your life miserable there so that you will not have time. When you leave the job, you go home, you are still oppressed because of what happened at the job. When you should have gotten home and relaxed and be in the presence of the Lord, you can't. Because of what happened all day long, you know. So that's a way of oppressing. That's a way of burdens. There's a lot of things. I could go on and on and on. But enough said. I'm going to turn it into prayers. Because these days of convocation and consecration, they're not just about talking. Yes, we will talk. Yes, we will call out these things, but then we will pray. And everybody needs to be engaged. And here's what I want you to understand. You know, understand the tactics of the devil. Understand how the devil says, give them more burdens. You know, let there be more burdens laden on the people. Don't be ignorant of the devices of the devil. You know, but I said it yesterday, 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Paul said, look, we don't want Satan to take advantage of us, but we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, ladies and gentlemen, do not let Satan take advantage of you, because he's a very wily old devil. And, you know, you need to be aware of his devices. Don't be ignorant. Yet some of his devices are what I've exposed today. Let there be more burdens laden upon you so that you will not have time for the Lord. I've heard people say, well, I don't have time. You know, I'm at work. And so when they should be at church, they're at work. You know, when they should be doing, relaxing and enjoying themselves, they're at work. Everywhere you turn, they're at work. Because that is more burdens that have been placed upon you. That's right. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants us to work, you know, but labor not for the meat that perisheth. You know, that's the kind of labor that does not carry a blessing with it. You know, because you're spending all your energy and it is amounting to nothing. And even sometimes there's a bag in the holes. I mean, there's holes in the bag, sorry. The bag comes with holes. You earn money, you put it in, and then there's holes draining it out. You know, that's the tactics of the devil. Here's what the Lord wants you to do. Take your 2 loaves and 5 fishes. It may look small. Put it in the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. And let him put a blessing on it and put it right back in your hands, and you'll see what he can do with it. Now, it's not about 2, 3, 4 jobs. You know, that's laboring for the meat that perishes, especially if it's preventing you from worshiping the Lord. Now, I'm not making light of anybody's situation. Sometimes one job doesn't pay them enough, and then they have family, they have bills, they have this and that. But be careful what bills you get into, you know, because some people add more bills to themselves, you know. I mean, just add more things upon themselves. And then they have to almost kill themselves to pay those bills. And what is that all about? You know, what good shall it be, profit a man, if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, now, if you can do all those things, if you can do more work and you can, you know, get more money, and still, if you don't, it doesn't take away from your time to worship the Lord, then that's good. That's all right. But the moment it begins to encroach upon your relationship time with God, then you got to be aware of the taxes of the devil, because the devil will take advantage of it. It wasn't the devil that gave you the job. It was the Lord, you know, and it was you that asked for it. The Lord gave it to you. But the devil will now take advantage, you know, try to advantage you, try to outwit you by adding sorrow into that thing. And then the next thing you know, you're overwhelmed. But the Lord says, sing. And I'm going right back to the scripture where we started. And then we're going to pray. Sing, O ye daughters of Zion. Zephaniah chapter 3. And it seems that just women are more prone to these things that we're talking about today. You know, just all kinds of problems. Women, I mean, God bless their hearts. They work hard. They've got to take care of their families. They got to take care of their children. They got to take care of their husband. They got to take care of business. Sometimes they still, they're career women. And it's just a lot. Well, be careful now, because there are tactics of the devil. You may do so much that you don't even have time for your family. You may not even have time for yourself, let alone have time for the Lord. You know, so sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout and be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. And remember, Isaiah 52 and verse 2 that we read yesterday. Snap out of it, thou captive daughter of Zion. Shake thyself from the dust, loosing thyself from the bands around your neck. And do not put your neck under the bondage and the burdens of the devil. Now, you may have been doing it unwittingly, but today we're giving you understanding. The Lord's giving you knowledge to be discerning. Have discernment, because if you don't, you just take things for granted. The children of Israel took things for granted for a long time. And they didn't, for many years, they didn't even realize that there was anything better than being in captivity. For hundreds of years, that's all they knew. You know, and they would beat them up. They would ravish their wives in front of them. They would torment them, and they could do nothing about it. They would slap them around, you know, take out their eye, cut off anything, you know, and they couldn't do anything because they were slaves. That's why Moses, when he brought them out, he had to teach them the art of fighting for themselves. You know, that was not the perfect standard. Moses had to teach them that because these people for 400 years had been pummeled, battered down. They had no, you know, no escape, and they didn't even know any better. There are some battered women, there are battered down people and so forth that don't know any better. Well, there is better. So Moses, he taught them, he said, look, from now on, you fight for yourself. When somebody plucks out your eye, you pluck out their eye. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I mean, all those things were not perfect. Moses was just trying to do all of that to get the people to fight back. But they didn't know how to fight back for many years. Of course, you know, when Jesus came, he changed all of that. You know, so look, we need to fight back. The fight that we are fighting is a spiritual fight. We're not taking up arms. We're not plucking out anybody's eyes. We're not plucking out their tooth. But we are entering into the ring. And this is not a battle that is with confused noise or garments rolled in blood. This is a battle with burning and fuel of fire. We're going to stand right here. Yes, in our own. We're not going over there. We're going to stand right here. But we're going to send a fire against all the works of the devil. But step in the ring, ladies and gentlemen. You know, don't, you know, you need to get in the fight. You have to engage, you know. And so this is how we've been engaging. These last few days, we're engaging in the fight. First, we engage by we ourselves cleansing ourselves and bringing ourselves before the Lord that the Lord will purify us. And then we begin to get understanding about all the things that the devil is using to keep us backwards in life. And then we have to come out and come against those things. And there's a reason for this. It's not that we're pursuing those things. No. But listen, as long as you are here and as long as you're a human being, you're going to have these things. And if you don't know how to deal with those things, they will prevent you from serving the Lord. That's my focus on this. I am not, look, I work as hard as anybody else, you know, and so on and so forth. I have job, I have this, I have that. However, you know, I got to make sure that it's not preventing me from doing my walk with the Lord, and it's not preventing me from, you know, having my relationship. And the moment it starts to do that, then we got to do a retreat and go get yourselves in order. You know, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, Jesus looked at his disciples and he saw them that, you know, they were just going. And sometimes it's even the work of the ministry that some people are doing until they burn themselves out, you know, and they kill themselves even. You know, we've known people like that, you know, and Jesus said, look, you need to come, you know, yourselves apart. Mark 6:31. To a desert place and rest a while. Jesus is always about rest. He doesn't want you to be overburdened with anything because you'd be no good to anybody, not to yourself or anybody. because there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. I mean, when your day becomes like that, you know, your food is, you're withdrawn, you're not fasting, but you've lost your appetite. You don't even have time to eat. You're just constantly going, you know, then you need a break. You're already burnt out. And if you're burnt out spiritually or mentally or physically, you are no good to anybody. You're no good to yourself. You're no good to your family. You're no good to your children. You're no good to the kingdom. You know, so we need a time of refreshing. And these kinds of convocations are not only empowering us, but it's also a time of refreshing. Taking a break from all of that. You know, getting away from, you know, I mean, we're not saying stop working and everything. I explained that in the days leading up to this. But mentally preparing yourself that you're not going to let those things overcome you. You know, Paul said, look, everything is lawful, you know, and so forth or whatever. But, you know, I will not be brought down under the power of anything. And not everything is expedient. It may be okay, but it may not be expedient. And I will not be brought under the power of anything, not even my job. You know, and so on. And this job that you're doing that is pulling you down, you know, the job will continue if something were, God forbid, happened to you. You know, you will still continue. So your health is number one. And your spiritual health is even higher than that. You know, let's make sure that we put everything right in order. So today we're going to pray against the heavy burdens. And I'm set to pray right now. Heavy burdens. And as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit was explaining some things to you as well. Here's what the Lord wants for us. And it's a prophetic declaration to every one of us in this room. God told me this some time ago. He said, those that be feeble, the feeble ones among him shall be like David. And those that be weak among them shall be like Samson. Glory to God. Now, if you are feeble and you're like David, I said, I can run through troops and leap over walls. And by my God, I can bend a bow of steels. Oh, my goodness. If you are weak and you can be like Samson, then where will you be when you are really strong? And God wants us to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, don't be weak, you know. Be strong in the Lord. The scripture tells us that. Ephesians, you know, chapter 6. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And also in Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, the latter part of it, it says, and the people that do know their God shall be strong. Hallelujah. And they will do exploits. You know, all over the Bible, you know, the Bible tells us that we are strong. And they want us to be strong, you know, because that's what God wants. He even writes, even the book of John, in many of his epistles that he writes to the young folks and said, look, you know, you have written unto you because you are strong and you have overcome the devil. And there's, you know, talk about young people, young men, young women, you know, you are strong and you overcome the devil. You know, 1 John chapter 2, you know, let's read verse 14. He said, look, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Praise the Lord. So that's how we should be. Don't be, you know, quit ye like men, he said. Don't be a sissy. Don't let, you know, devil push you around, the ping pong, kick you all over the place, you know, tossed down, up and down by every slight of man and so on. No. Take a stand. and say, no more. This place is now under new management. Glory to God. So I'm going to pray right now in Jesus' name. Now I want you to join me in prayer, because throughout this time that we are here, it's not just going to be just me praying for you. Yes, we're going to pray for one another, but it's going to be you praying for yourself, because it's loose the bands from around your neck. Shake thyself from the dust. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. So ladies and gentlemen, we are going to pray together. I want to invite those of you who want to pray, come to the stage and let's pray together.